If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. So we talk a lot about mission, vision, value, and purpose. How do you know that your mission, vision, value, and purpose are seen as relevant? They're being embraced? They're valued? All of these are important things. You can say whatever you want. You can write whatever you want on the wall. You can put it all on the website. You can have it as part of, you know, some doctrine somewhere. You can even have it as part of your onboarding. But if you don't live it, it will never be embraced. Because people listen to what you say. And if what you do is not congruent, people will believe what you do over what you say. So Sia, let's gnaw on this.
Ooh, you know what? You just made me think of like, go viral. What are the key things all businesses need to know that everyone believes in your mission, value, purpose? You know, five tips.
That's right. Five tips.
Right. So here's one of the biggest things that I think that a company can recognize that mm-hmm. their mission, value, purpose is being articulated well in their community of external people that they're, you know, their audience and internal, which is what we talked about in an earlier topic. Do you have any cheerleaders?
Correct.
Do you have anyone that's speaking on your behalf, not paid? Let us clarify. Although yes. There's nothing wrong to be a paid shill. We can be hired very easily. But that being said is, yeah, if you have people who are like raving about, you know, this restaurant makes the best minestrone bar none, you're going to get people that say, hey, I like minestrone. I'm going to go check it out. Right?
Exactly.
And I think that is one of the biggest clues is if your mission, purpose, and value is being recognized.
Well, it's are people living the brand? I mean, I still go back to the Zappos experience. You know, I love this story. I'm sure we've told it here before, but I'm going to tell it again. About a person who phones up a Zappos customer experience call, and he says, you got to help me. He says, what's wrong? He says, my wife died yesterday, and 12 pairs of shoes showed up on my doorstep this morning. And this guy is totally distraught. He's absolutely distraught. And instead of this customer service person saying, okay, what's your name? What's your account number? This and that and the other thing. He quickly got the information. First of all, he said he was sorry. And second of all, he made it as simple as humanly possible to give him one UPS tracking number that everything could be shipped right back. He says, and he called UPS to have the UPS come and pick it all up. You know, he took care of it. And then he went one step forward. As soon as he got off the call, he found the local flower shop near where this person lived and had a bouquet sent to this person's house on behalf of Zappos. Nobody asked this customer service rep to do this. It wasn't in a manual somewhere. It wasn't part of the standard operating procedures. It's because they knew that Zappos takes care of their clients. And that it's the joy of having great customers is taking care of those customers. And that was built into the ethos of the company. And this person got celebrated for doing it. They didn't have to go and check with a supervisor. They didn't have to go get a requisition. They didn't have to go through 12 different steps to get the flowers delivered. They just called up and they had the flowers built to Zappos on this number, or maybe he had a credit card or whatever. Yeah. However he did it. I don't know how he got it paid for, but it doesn't really matter. Those are the people that believe in your mission, your vision, your values, and your purpose. Those are the people that are the ones they feel empowered. Those are the people that feel that they matter because they know what's expected of them, because they know the story of the organization. They know where you've been. They know where you are. They know where you're going. They know who your customers are. They know what your customers expect from you, and they know what you should expect when dealing with your customers. And, you know, they believe in the brand. They believe in what they're doing. And it's not just a job. It's they know they're there every single day to help people.
Yeah.
And I think that that is how we know as organizations that we've got the right people and we've built the right culture, because stories like that start emerging within our organization.
Yeah. You know what you made me think is, and I know we talk about Disney, and again, my experience with Disney was 30 fracking years ago. Back off, everyone. 30 years ago. Anyway, damn. Okay. Wow. Okay. Hold, please. 30 fracking years ago. Okay. That being said, 30 years ago. Okay. To this day.
Yes.
I still have very fond memories of my time working at a place 30 fracking years ago, people. 30 fracking years. Okay. Sorry. I come back. But I think that is where, if you have a strong purpose that is relatable to the business. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think this is where we go wrong as, you know, mission statement for businesses. Okay. I'm going to say I'm an AI company. And we say our purpose and mission is to create a better world with our software to, I don't know, be more efficient. I don't give a crap. I don't know. We talk it's humanity
words.
Better.
It's okay? Words. Yeah.
So here's where but in their mission, saying that we're making the world a better place, if part of their pitch to clients is we can help you with reduction in workforce and help you automate and save you costs, that's not matching the mission and purpose of making a better world, because you're putting people out of a job like directly. That's part of your pitch.
Yeah.
I am not saying AI should ever say no, or AI companies should say, well, that's what it does. Yeah, we know that's what it does. But if it's the maybe positioning of we enable your workforce to spend more time in creativity, to increase business profitability, move them away from mundane tasks so they can actually be more creative and useful in their whatever expertise. Mm-hmm. Same message, same goal of selling that platform, but you're not using those words of like, yeah, let's do reduction in force and save you guys and make you more profitable, right? I think that's where, you know, or you get a tech company that's like, oh yeah, you know, we're tree huggers. It's like, okay, that's great if you're tree huggers, but what does it have to do with your freaking company? Like,
that's right.
It's got to tie in and make sense. So back in the day, Google said, you know, do no evil. but again, they don't believe in that clearly, because they dropped that little sucker real fast, right? So that's where I think there's a problem and disconnect of like, oh, we do have a noble mission, purpose, and value. Is it really tied to the business? Because what you say and your business practices do not reflect this mission, purpose, and goal. So
exactly.
That's a big problem that, you know, I think companies really have to do some soul searching.
Yeah. And Disney might not have been perfect, but they lived it to the best of their ability. On an employee by employee basis, I mean, the induction of employees into the Disney, you know, family believes in magical moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the idea of, I mean, you said it's that people learn when people are that character, they learn how to sign their name as that character. They become that character. And it's about creating the special moments for that little girl who is so excited to see Cinderella.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is so excited to see Cinderella. She may never see Cinderella ever again in her life, but that 15 seconds or 30 seconds or 2 minutes that she gets to spend with Cinderella makes her entire day. And it might make her entire year.
You know what you reminded me of? And you're getting me all like reminiscing and whatnot. Is I remember there's families that used to come back. I worked at Disneyland Hotel.
Right.
Working at a restaurant. And we were the character breakfasts. We were the old school OG. We piloted the whole concept. You're welcome.
Nice.
That's how old I am. Anyway, 30 freaking years ago. Anyway, it's more than 30 years, Ben. I just realized that. That's why I'm really super sad.
Don't. 30 just years. Let it go. Let it go.
Let it go. Okay. But I remembered, and my crew, us in the restaurant, we would have families come back year after year after year.
Nice.
And we were kids, you know, paying our way through college, right? So we were sure. there year after year after year after year.
Yeah.
And we remembered their names. That's I remembered awesome. Their names. And half, I know 90%, like everyone remembered, like there's always a favorite family. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And it would be funny because it got to the point where even the hosts, when they would make reservations, they would be like, oh, the Smiths are back. And you'd be like, oh my God, it's the Smiths from Kansas or Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like, but either way, you just made me remember I had told the family that I was looking to leave. I was going to leave and
yeah.
go to the Bay Area to finish college. And they came back and they had a little album book for me.
Oh, isn't that cool?
The boy that, you know, over the years.
Yeah.
And at the final year, he was like 14 years old. And I think I told the story.
Yeah, you did. You've told the story before, like, but it's awesome.
He used to sit on my lap. He used to sit on my lap. And then 14, like, sit on his, like, because he was bigger than me at that point. I'm like, hell no, I'm not sitting on no 14-year-old kid's lap. Are you kidding me? The parents were so cute. But, like, yeah, it was just really cute. And now you just made me remember. That's the thing where the magic of I believed in giving a family, this could be their 5-year savings to come to Disneyland.
Absolutely.
Right? So why not make it memorable for them? And I believed in that mission and purpose and value. And I think that's why Disney did it right in the amusement parks,
Yeah.
Not talking about anything else about the company, just the amusement park.
But I think that organizations need to find their own level of magic, whether they're three employees or 30,000 employees. And they need to find out what differentiates us, what makes us special to our customers, what enables us to do. It could be just the fact that we actually pick up the phone. You actually get a human being. Every time you call in, you actually get a human being. And it could be the fact that your chatbot is actually, you know, is actually not an AI. It's actually the customer service department that actually picks up and is actually chatting with you. And it's a human being. It could be the fact that, you know, you have a software package on your desk that says, look, if you really like this, let me show you this. Or, you know, was it Kimpton that has goldfish? Like, if you're lonely, they'll give you a goldfish that you can have in your room while you sleep there at night.
Oh, how cute is that?
Exactly. Oh, so cute. Every restaurant, every hotel, every business has the ability to wow their customers in a unique way. I mean, there was a restaurant and unfortunately the owners died and they closed out the restaurant, but it was in Vancouver for years and it was an institution. It was called the Elbow Room. And it was owned by two old gay guys. And these guys were hysterical because their attitude was the whole mantra was shit and abuse. It says, I'll pour you your first cup of coffee, but get off your fat ass and get your second one. And it says, our pancakes are absolutely huge. It says, you can order one, but you're going to wait 15 minutes to get it. And by the way, if you don't eat the whole thing, you got to make a donation to the Loving Spoonful.
I love that. I love that.
And, you know, and the whole thing, like we went to this restaurant for years, years and years and years. And, you know, and I knew Patrick, the owner and his partner really well. And it was always abuse. And they loved it because it was always abuse because they loved it because I gave it to them just as much as they gave it to me. But that was their shtick. That was why you came to the Elbow. Was the food great? it certainly wasn't Michelin star, but it was hearty, good food, breakfast, lunch type food. And it was, you know, it was, there was always lots of it on the plate, but you went there because of the ambiance. You went there because you had a whole bunch of, you know, of people from the community that worked there, and they were all trained to give the staff, you know, give the customers shit. And it was fun. It was a fun way to be. So every company has something. There's something that you can do, and it may be great service. It may be, you know, giving your customers the gears. You know, you don't know what it is until you're doing it, but you, something that makes you you, and that's got to be brought into the culture. And people need to know not only what to do, but how to do, and how to get them to expand on it. Mm-hmm. And empower your people to expand on that ability.
And have fun with it. You know, I think we, again, we bring it up all the time. Southwest, like, yes. Man, they're the folks, like, you know, I don't know what the proper flight attendants, like, you know, when they do their, like, announcements, like.
Oh, they're hysterical.
As long as they do the legally binding, you must do all the safety protocols and all that. That's, but do it fun. Do it memorable. Yeah. Do it. You know, another thing, like. I'll pick on Walmart, but you know what? If there's a greeter that is like a retired, like, colonel, that's like a tin hood, like, that'd be funny. I think
it is.
Like, and it would make the experience better, right?
Yeah.
Like, I worry a little bit about the customer service, customer experience, whatever you want to call. I feel like that's diminished after the pandemic. I feel like,
agreed.
I think societally, maybe you and I could, you know on this some more, but if we can advocate the bringing the joy back, even in the mundane, like yes. We had mentioned, like, you know, it could be just a small little, like, if you're going to be a Walmart greeter, have fun with it, right? Why be miserable being it? Why don't you just be like, I'm going to start learning how to juggle. Welcome. Yeah. Like, who knows? Like, or I'm going to do magic. Like, welcome. Like, here's a coupon, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make your life and day better?
Absolutely. Make somebody smile. Give somebody a reason to say, wow, that was fun.
And yeah. And I think, you're right. So yeah, companies, if you want to have people live your mission, purpose, and et cetera, make it a mission and purpose and value that it can be expanded upon in a way that is still reflective of your guys's, you know, goals as an organization, but give them the freedom to make it their own. I think that's no better ambassador or brand than to do that. So that's my final say.
Let's leave it there. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sia.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at IamBenBaker.com or me at BrilliantBeanMedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This Business Bites.